good. So, Justin, good morning to you. Happy New Year. It's great to have you back with us.
Yeah, good to hear your voices. Listening to the recap over 2024, a lot happened, didn't it?
A lot happened, and we still haven't covered half of it. But imagine how 2025 is going to be, because 2024 was a mouthful, wasn't it?
It really was.
And we have already started the year with some crazy things happening in the U.S., particularly with some terror attacks. Have you seen anything around that, Justin?
Yeah, it's really hard to get onto what's happening here, because we had two separate attacks. One was very vicious and killed 15, I think, now, where this both were military men. Both were U.S. soldiers who have served. One was currently serving, and the guy down in New Orleans, he ran over people in the truck, and it was just horrendous stuff. And then within that same day, within a day, New Year's Day, there's an explosion of a Tesla truck at Trump Tower.
I've seen the video, and it looks like there's like fireworks.
Very symbolic. Somebody's definitely sending a message.
The guy committed suicide in the truck. He's a serving sergeant, a Green Beret. These are millions of dollars are invested into the training of these guys. He could have blown up that whole floor, but he just used fireworks. He really wasn't trying to hurt anyone. I'm not sure you could call it a terror attack, but the thing surrounding it is where it's got really weird. He sent these emails out that seem to be verified. They did come from him, with two big revelations in the emails. One of them was that there's been a cover-up from 2019, which would involve the Trump administration's first term, of a heap of people being killed in Syria that were civilians. And the UN apparently has highlighted this, and it's all been pushed to the side. The other thing, and the thing that I don't know what to think about, is these drones that have been on the east coast of the US.
Yes. So that was in the emails of that Green Beret?
It was.
Really?
Yeah. And he said that it's Chinese technology that they've basically borrowed or stolen from the US, which is a gravity type, what did he call it? A gravitational, anti-gravity anyway, that they fly these drones with, which, apparently everyone that's sort of been reacting to this email, there seems to be people that have known about their existence. So we saw all this UFO activity, and the Nimitz aircraft carrier had all this footage of these objects that are just doing things that no technology we have could do. And it's all of a sudden, it seems that these drones are coming out of Chinese subs in underwater and then coming over the east coast of the US. And he's saying this is leading up to an attack on the US.
Well, that's quite a, I would say, a grave accusation.
I don't know what to do with that. But I think it's important to...
Yes, to listen.
Clearly, they've got technology in the military that we don't know about. They had the Black Hawk helicopters in Vietnam. So we didn't know about them until the 1980s. So it takes a while for things to come out. And there seems to be a new form of propulsion that they're using on these drones.
That is crazy, because the among the theories that were circulating out there, and I think that Elon Musk apparently espoused these other variant, these other narratives that no, this is just like U.S. technology. We were just testing it out, and it just you know, super highly classified. Cause it, you're right. Sometimes these, you know, for example, the internet, you know, was already in existence in the 1950s, for military use. So they're all,
that's right.
They're usually 20, 30 years ahead of civilian technology, particularly to this high tech stuff. But the other option was, hey, what if this is Chinese technology? They're gathering information and the military of the United States is so far behind that they can't do anything about it. And that's, nobody wanted to really to believe that because like, it's going to be so embarrassing because, you know, what would that mean to the future of the world if that's the case, that the U.S. cannot protect its own, airspace?
Well, apparently the U.S. has this technology, U.S. and China. I don't know whether this is true or not, guys. I'm just conveying
the word in the street.
Email. And it's, it from the, you can gauge by the reaction whether something's true or not usually. Uh-huh. And it seems to me that yes, there seems to be some truth.
Wow.
To the fact that there is a new form of propulsion because, you know, some of the police forces on the East Coast have sent up their high-tech drones to counter these and they can't keep up. They just, these drones that are across the East Coast are so fast and moving ways that their current ones can't even match.
Wow.
So it is starting to make some sense there, but anyway.
Makes sense. And look, and I remember seeing a report of a police officer in the United States who had no idea what was that, you know, about. And he said, look, some of these drones are the sizes of cars and some of them the sizes of buses. And we're talking some really big drones there.
Wow. I've got to tell you about something else that happened that I think's quite extraordinary. If I was to give you three names, now Shell's she's very US centered. I'm not sure what's going on there So Denzel Washington, Hillary Clinton, and George Soros.
Yeah.
What do those three people have in common?
I know. Maybe Shell, do you know? I know the answer to that quiz question.
No, I do not.
And I would even add Lionel Messi as well.
Oh, you could add 19 in total.
These are the recipients of the Medal of Freedom. That's the civilian equivalent of the Medal of Honor. That's like the greatest achievement award that anybody can get from the United States president being a civilian.
So that's just happened, has it?
Just happened. Hillary Clinton, George Soros, Denzel Washington, Lionel Messi. The funny things that Lionel Messi said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I cannot go to the ceremony.
The people on the right side of politics are apoplectic about George Soros receiving it. George Soros, of course, Hungarian, I think he's been very anti-America and funded all sorts of stuff on the left side, the globalist side of politics.
Yeah.
And he's the king of globalism. And for them to give them the highest award that the US gives out to civilians has got some people fairly animated. So what's his space when Trump comes in? Because I think there's going to be a reaction back against this. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. And speaking of presidential medals and, you know, one of the things that in the recap that really shocked the world last year was, Joe Biden's, pardoning his son, for crimes that he may have committed, few crimes in the past, crimes in the future, blank check. And now I know that, people in the media are all asking, hey, is Donald Trump going to forgive the January 6th, rioters as well? Do you have any news on that one?
That'll happen the first day. I think that's my opinion that he'll go straight into that. And then there'll be a reforming of the January 6th committee because last time the Republicans refused to participate. There's going to be a lot more investigations into January 6th. And of course, it's January 6th today in the United States and they are certifying the election as we speak. It's probably finished, I think. I'm on the side of the road here coming into Canberra, but, Kamala Harris as a vice president would have overseen the whole proceedings where the Trump election has now been certified. as is normal. But 4 years ago, of course, it ended up in this shocking riot in the Capitol. And there's a lot more questions than there are answers surrounding that. And I think not only will they be given a, what do you call it? When he gives you a pardon, he'll pardon all the people charged over that. There's going to be a lot of investigations because there's some involvement. It seems like the FBI, they've admitted there were 26 assets there that day, but there seems to be a lot more involvement than what's come out. So watch this space. That's something we can look into as we move forward.
Absolutely. Let's see what comes out of that. It's going to be, I think 2025 is going to be quite a year for a lot of these news. And speaking of it, we started this year with a bit of a shocking news from Canada. We have Justin Trudeau wanting to resign as prime minister. What's going on there, Justin? Have you followed anything that happened there?
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. Well, Shell shared a little earlier about how 2024 was a year of the incumbents getting smashed. Justin Trudeau is the quintessential globalist leader, where he puts the global needs expressed in climate change in Ukraine and all their sort of things that they're really obsessed with. He has really, since Trump has been elected, he's not serving yet. He's put out some statements about putting 25% tariff on Canadian goods. That led to the resignation of Trudeau. Justin Trudeau is the Prime Minister of Canada. His finance minister, what we'd call the treasurer, resigned. And she on her way out said he's not dealing with the Trump factor. And I think you remember the protest that happened in Canada? It's called the trucker protest.
I think, very well, I do. You do? Okay.
Well, Justin Trudeau did something that I think is the unpardonable sin for a democracy. Is he's the prime minister with these people participating in a protest. He froze their bank accounts so they couldn't buy or sell. And every student of prophecy gets a shiver down their spine.
Yes, absolutely.
Where they hear a Western democracy has frozen the bank accounts of their citizens. Yeah, the citizens of the country. The prime minister on a whim did that. He was done from the day he did that. He was never going to win another election in Canada. That was so divisive. And he is the poster boy of globalism. Globalism is dying in front of us. George Soros and Hillary Clinton, them receiving that freedom, Medal of Freedom. These are all the big globalist guys that are actually, they're all on their way out right across the globe. Germany's government's in trouble. France, England, everywhere you look, that globalist approach to the world is on its way out. And I think that's the big thing moving forward for students of prophecy. The populist nationalists are coming to power right across the globe. And as I've said before, that is the angry mob. And the angry mob is something to be very worried about, because there's a reason it's happening, and I don't disagree with that. I'd support that as well. But where that goes is what we have to be focused on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Justin. So definitely going to be talking more about the implications of that and the measures, the laws, the movements that will come out of this response, this angry response by the nationalist populists, and how that relates to the scenarios that we see in Bible prophecy. So we're looking forward to have you with us in the show every week on Monday.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
With Scaffy Lawson and Chell. Lawson is not with us today. He is preaching at the summer camps, preaching to young people, living his best life, as he would normally say.
Yeah, that's right.
Sharing the gospel. So
my husband's going to be at one of those in a a week or so. Yeah, so
that's right.
He'll
be
doing one as well, but he won't be preaching. He'll be sailing. He's going to be teaching the kids how to sail.
Ooh, great! Yeah, that's fantastic. Hopefully, they
I'll
won't
have
capsize.
A week at home alone, which normally I'm not excited about. But after a full house for so long with
Christmas people
who I love. But it's good just going to be nice to have some me time.
Yeah, I hear you.
We still got one of my sons with us at the moment, but they're leaving tomorrow. Yeah, so from before I started leave to after I finish, I've had people, a full house of people staying with us for the most of that part. And yeah, it's been fantastic, but yeah.
I know it's great. Like at the moment we do have some of our relatives visiting us from overseas as well.
Yep.
And it's fantastic some days, particularly because my brother-in-law, he just also so happened to be a baker.
Ooh,
so he's been baking pizzas and bread and just like yummy, you know, hot bread coming out of the oven, just so delicious.
Nice.
We're going to be missing them. But at the same time, I'm also the kind of person that whenever I have the opportunity, I do enjoy to have some alone time.
Yep.
Where I can just like take my breath and not have to be interacting with other people.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of that introvert aspect.
I think all of us have a little bit. We all need a recharge occasionally. I don't feel much of an introvert either, but.
But some people, they feel like completely lost when they're by themselves.
Yeah, and I would say that's normally me. I really don't like being alone, but looking forward to having some alone time.
There you go. What about you, listener? Are you more of an introvert or an extrovert? Do you like alone time, or do you flee from it as fast as you can? Let us know. We want to know more a little bit about your personality. So 0491-064-669, so we can get to know a little bit more about you.
Yeah. So I want to tell a little story.
All right.
On my way in to work this morning, so I've started my time back with a kind of a creepy story.
All right, creepy story.
So I don't know about you, but we had a ton of rain last night.
It
probably felt like more rain to me than it felt to you because I was sleeping under a very, very thin tin roof.
Yeah, okay.
Because my husband and I have been sleeping in our Bedford camper, which has got a very thin tin roof. And yes, and it was pounding on there all through the night, you know. It would stop for a while and, it would get really, really heavy again. And I'm very, very shocked that a spider could be quite as active as it was during all of that rain. But I went to open my car door this morning and went through a giant spider web.
Oh, did
just
you?
Just got wrapped all around myself, you know. And I trying to get it all off before I got into the car, but then the whole drive in, I'm like finding bits of spider web on myself, you know? And I'm not afraid of spiders, but you kind of get those little heebie-jeebie feelings, you know?
Because
you're like, where is the spider?
Yes.
Did the spider stay outside? Is the spider now in my car? Is it on me? All of those kind of things, right? Are going through your mind. And I still, now that I'm here, I just found like another clump of the spider web in my hair. And the thing is, when I got here and I got out of the vehicle and I didn't feel like unsafe or anything. So I know there's a lot of people who would have just had to pull over someplace where there was a bunch of light and give everything a thorough search and whatnot. But
yes.
I didn't do that. But when I got here, on the back of my headrest of my car seat was this very big spider.
Huntsman spider.
It wasn't a huntsman, but he was about half the size of a huntsman.
Okay, that's pretty
his
scary.
Legs, yeah, his body was at least as large, but his legs were much shorter. And he was just sitting happily on the back of my headrest. And so I got a little scrap of paper and I got him off and I let him out into the bushes and I said to him, look, you didn't attack me, so I'm not gonna attack you. I let him go. But yeah, how would you guys have coped with that? Let us know how you would have handled that situation. Radio neighbors, we'd love to hear from you. 0491-064-669. How would you have handled it, Scaffy?
Yeah, look, I would probably be in my ignorance, but when I I'll probably do it similar to you.
Okay.
But I would be quite startled when I said, I can't believe that here, like right behind my headrest. I would be freaking out a little bit. I don't like spiders.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't mind the small jumping spiders. I find them cute, but anything bigger than that, I don't like them.
I usually like deal with them, but I'm quite safe doing that myself. I don't have to call on anybody, and I'm not jumping on furniture because there's a spider in my room.
That's not level.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I can kill a spider with my bare hand or whatever, not because I'm like, it's gonna be fast. It's gonna happen. You know?
I think I'm same level as you. I know there's some people that just like are, you know, nature lovers, and they just, oh, huntsman spider, great, and they get it in their hand and they let them crawl everywhere, and
find it so amusing.
That's not me. My kids are more like, they see like a small jumping spider. They're like, Dad, a spider, can you come and kill it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, oh, kids, this spider's not going to hurt you. So, you know, try to. But I remember once I went to massive lengths. I saw this huntsman spider on the floor somewhere or in the car, whatever it was. And it's like, okay, I'm going to give that spider a second chance. So I managed to get like a dustpan.
Okay.
I got the spider out, and I just, you know, threw it out in the garden somewhere.
Yep.
It's okay, now you're free, you're in nature. And then the spider was just, you know, happily climbing a light post. And all of a sudden, this magpie just came in, swooped in, ate the huntsman spider, which is like in one go, and off he went. It's like, oh, wow, so much for trying to save the spider. And it just became breakfast for a magpie.
Oh, that's funny.
A bit of a. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I did not know that that's going to happen. I didn't even know that you were in the magpie menu.
You made somebody happy anyway.
The magpie say, hey, thank you, sir. Thanks for the brekkie.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, why don't we have our third quiz question?
Okay,
are you ready?
Have a
let's
third
see
quiz
how you
question.
Go with this one.
Okay.
All right. This is a more straightforward question. But I don't know that I would have gotten it right. So, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to pronounce this woman's name correctly, but I will try. Ahinoam was the wife of what Old Testament Bible character?
Wow, that's hard. I know that name, but I cannot remember whose wife she was. Let me think. Oh, it's going to be a guess.
Yeah, Ahinoam. Now, yeah. I could have worded it, done it the other way. I think you wouldn't have definitely not gotten it right, but given the husband's name and left out the wife's name. But, oh, you're in the right, like, story area, but no, that is not the right
okay.
person.
All righty.
The number here is 0491-064-669 for you to send through your answer. Who was, Ahinoam was the wife of what Old Testament Bible character? I'm going to spell it out just because I might be butchering it, but I think I'm doing pretty good with this one. Ahinoam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you ask whose wife she was, right?
Yes.
I think I got the right answer.
No.
I think I did.
Okay. Well, we will talk
that
over in a moment.
Yeah, I actually did. Apparently, I'm just looking up here, but...
Not according to... Okay.
I will have
to look that up.
All right, cool. All right, but let me tell you this. It's interesting what her name means, Ahinoam.
Ahi means
my brother. And Noam means pleasant. It's like my brother is pleasant. So imagine that you name your child, hey, my brother is pleasant. Imagine she's living under the shadow of her brother. What's
Man.
Her name? Oh, yeah, my brother's nice. That's my
is
name.
That not a story for how the situation was for women back in the day, I guess?
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's about your brother. Everything is about him.
There you go. It's all about his brother. So, you know, whoever was his brother.
Her brother, yep.
Yeah, sorry. Whoever was her brother, she carried that in her name. Like, my brother is pleasant.
Wow.
It's almost like when your brother says, like, say... Yeah, your brother is pleasant. You know, like you know, when like a brother is trying to intimidate a younger sister, say, tell me I'm pleasant. Okay, I'm pleasant. Okay, now you can go. But imagine living with that name. So There you go. Some weird names that happen in the Bible for sure. Very good. We have a Bible study. We actually have a whole new topic this quarter, Shell.
I know. I'm excited about it.
Do you know what it's all about?
I mean, I loved John.
John was nice. I loved the Mark one.
Okay.
That was my favorite.
John's my favorite
year.
Book, but I do feel that it might have drug out a little bit. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, but it was good. It was interesting. But this week, this quarter is going to be very interesting as well. It's going to be about God's love and his justice.
Yeah.
It's going to be a topical study about, we're going to learn everything, well, not everything, but like as much as we can about God's love.
Right. We're going to be learning about his love throughout eternity and still not learn it all.
That's right. But I think that we can, there's lots of things that we can learn. There's a lot of misconceptions about God's love out there. And I think that we're going to be able to talk about some of them.
Yeah.
And the relationship between God's love and his justice. Because this is a big topic for a lot of people. Because they say, look, because God is love, how can he be justice? People wonder that, you know? Just to give one example, some people believe that God will save absolutely everyone in spite of their choices. It's called universalism. And people conclude, look, God is love, God loves everyone, why doesn't he want, you know, anyone to be lost? And the reality is, God doesn't want anybody to be lost. But at the same time, is he going to force people who do not love him, who do not love others, who love hatred and sin, is he going to force them to spend eternity with him? That's a very interesting question. This is one of the questions that we're going to be exploring in our Bible study this quarter. And I also want to just go through the list here, Shell, just very quickly, very briefly, about some of the events in 2024, can't put this to a close. And this is basically, I'm not going to be, you know, talking too much about any of them, but just going to mention them briefly. Julian Assange, freed and came back to Australia. Remember that one?
Yes.
We talk about Puff Diddy, P. Diddy, being covered as one of a monster, really. You know, in all kinds of crazy accusations of sexual misconduct by various women and even men by him.
Yeah.
We had Spain's worst natural disaster, had these massive floods. We had, how can we not remember this one? The Hezbollah pagers that exploded. They're probably the boldest.
That's right.
Counterintelligence, counterterrorism, operation in the history of the world.
Yeah.
That was crazy. We had the arson attack in the synagogue Melbourne and a whole bunch of other anti-Semitic acts that are still happening. Even today, even yesterday, there was a car that had anti-Semitic messages graffitied in. We had Alexei Navalny dying in a Russian prison. We had the royals, both King Charles and Kate Middleton, talking, you know, with cancer.
Yep.
And talking about that. And of course, we had the Olympics. We had a phenomenal performance by Australians, and of course we also had her,
Ray Gun.
My sister did
her costume for Halloween, I guess. Right.
Okay.
Ray Gun. My sister celebrates
there
that.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
And did we forget anything? Was there any interesting news from last year that we forgot to mention? Listener, let us know. 0491-064-669. What was some of the news that we haven't mentioned, or perhaps some of the news that you remember that really, you know, stood out to you? Let us know. We want to know what's your recollection of 2024. There was so much that happened there. So, Shell, let's get into our Bible study, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's get into our Bible study. There are some interesting things, and
yeah, we've missed like the first week.
We missed
week. Yeah, are we going to talk a bit implement some of that?
Yeah, we're able to implement some of that. One of them is these ideas of love. This, how in Greek the word love can have different meanings. There's like four different words that we translate as just love. And I think that this is maybe an interesting place to start. You know, in English, we say we love, I love pizza, I love my dog, I love my friend, I love my wife. All mm-hmm. of these things, we use the same word love. And of course, we know by the context that I don't possibly mean the exact same thing.
Yes.
You cannot exactly. love my wife just the same as I love pizza.
Yeah.
So we use love fairly loosely. But in Greek, there are different words to love. One of them is agape.
Yes.
And agape love is that love that is this unconditional love, that divine love. And so that's the love with which God loves us primarily. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. There's the phileo love, which is the more affectionate love, the love that, talks about, like, I like you, you know, I have affections, or doesn't need to be in any intimate form, but it's just more like the brotherly love.
Okay.
Phileo. You have, eros love, and that's the love between a woman and a man. That's the intimate sexual, love.
Okay.
That exists. And you also have, storge love, which is kind of similar, to brotherly, but more like friendly. That doesn't really necessarily have that, bond of familial link connected to it.
So which one's for pizza?
I think the phileo.
Okay.
You know, and, like, you know, we use the word of philanthropy, philomath, or the word phileo. We kind of use that word phileo to say he's a lover of mathematics. He's a lover of pizza.
Okay.
You know? So I think that phileo would be more of on the pizza side of things, if you want. It's like, I really like it.
Little things. Yeah,
I
that's
like
right.
that one. But the interesting thing is that there's some myths that accompany. And our study guide highlights that, and I appreciated that. I think it was very interesting. And the first myth is that God only loves us with agape love.
Yeah.
That's the only form. But it turns out that the Bible tells us that God also loves us with a phileo love, which he just likes us. And that's the beauty about the phileo love, because the agape love is like, love your enemy. Agape your enemy. Like, you have to love your enemy. It doesn't mean that you have to have affections or feelings for your enemy, but it means that you're not going to take revenge if you are wronged. Doesn't mean that it means that you're going to respect, you're going to treat them fairly, whoever it is, even if you don't like them. That's the agape love. Phileo means like, I like you. It's just, I like you. And the Bible says here in John chapter 16, verse 27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I come forth from the Father. And the word here in that passage, for the Father himself loves you, is the Father himself phileo you, because you have phileo me. So God says, look, God actually he not only loves you with like a creator, sublime, ethereal kind of love. He just likes you. He thoroughly enjoys you.
Mm-hmm.
So the first myth that we want to break is that, oh, God only loves with agape love. No, he also loves us with phileo love, which is very interesting. He really likes you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all of the above with him. It's going to be, you know, he loves us in all of those ways. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say so. Maybe a question mark with the eros love. How do you think that God will love us with the eros kind of love?
Well, you've got Song of Solomon. You've got the whole relationship of us being his bride. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, is it only sexual love?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not marital love.
Not marital, just in general. But marital love includes eros love. But yeah. Eros love is more that exclusive sort of love of physical, lusty,
yeah,
if you
no,
want.
Yeah, I thought that was like the marital love.
Yeah. Yep. So, because when you look at the Song of Songs, a lot of, throughout ages, people were like, how do we interpret this book?
Mm-hmm.
the book at, if you take the book at face, I think you have to take the book at face value. Mm-hmm. And face value is a love song from a husband to a wife. Mm-hmm. And for sure, you can make applications about, you know, how, you know, in some passages, how Jesus loves us and so on, but certainly with not all of them.
That's for sure.
Certainly you don't want to make that for every single one.
I totally agree. Yeah. For sure.
So I would,
but I think
would
it was
say,
put in the Bible for a reason.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that because God wants us to celebrate love, intimate love as well. Actually, in the ancient Jewish tradition, people were forbidden to read Ecclesiastes until they reached majority, until they each day, the year of manhood or womanhood. Mm-hmm. It was just like the X-rated book of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's there for a whole bunch of amazing reasons. So, you know, not the least of them being the fact that God celebrates healthy sexual life within the confines of a loving heterosexual marriage.
That's
relationship.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. So the Bible celebrates that. It's absolutely for our pleasure. A lot of religious people really demonized sex, I think, mm-hmm. along the ages. Even some churches would equate, some traditions would equate, the first sin of Adam and Eve with them getting to know each other sexually.
That's right.
Which is an abomination as far as biblical interpretation goes.
And we talked about that last year. That's right.
Yeah, we spoke about that last year. Uh-huh. There's absolutely nothing to do with that. Because the sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife is something that God has created, something absolutely, permissible. Beautiful, something for the Bible says it is for the enjoyment mm-hmm. Of the human race, and the book of Song of Songs is a big celebration of many things, marriage, but that being one of them. Mm-hmm. But God does love us with different loves than just the agape love, mm-hmm. because the agape love, yeah, God loves you, He died for you, but yeah, you know, He loves you in that way that He's doing what's fair for you and just treating everyone okay. He loves you as like a government bureaucrat would love you. Says, you know, people use that analogy. Say, no. God actually, He not only loves you in that He does the right thing by you. He not only loves you in that He gave His life for you. He does not only love you that He, but He also loves you that He just likes you. Mm-hmm. Just likes you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's so special.
That's right. That's very special. And then the other misconception here, the other myth is that agape love only refers to God's love, because humans, we can also experience agape love. And interestingly enough, sometimes even misdirected human love. So this is the interesting thing about agape. You can actually have agape for a bad thing. It's not a...
Okay.
Agape, even though it's mostly positive, it's actually really a neutral word. And this is where I'm coming from here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "For Demas," so this is the Apostle Paul, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia." So this guy called Demas, he agape loved the present world, and he abandoned the mission. He abandoned Paul, he abandoned God. And interestingly, the word that is being used here is agape.
Okay.
So you can have this sublime, so to speak, this principle-based love, even for things such as the world. It can be misguided. So these are a couple of misconceptions that we have about the word agape that we're just busting here. So agape love is not just from God towards us. We can also agape love, agape others, and even agape the world, which is not a good thing at all. And in regards to phileo, God does also phileo us. He likes us. He enjoys us. He appreciates us. He has feelings for us. Fond feelings of joy towards each one of us. And we're going to explore a little bit more of that topic.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show this morning. We're talking about God's love here, some myths regarding God's love, some interesting nuances of the word love in Greek. And before we continue, before we go any further, let's
debate.
Get...
Debate.
That's, yeah, that's the, okay, so, Shel, tell me a little bit about
it. I am reading from 1 Samuel 14.
All right.
1 Samuel 14, verses 49 and 50.
14 verses 49, okay. I have it here.
And it says, Saul's sons were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishua. The name of his older daughter was Merab, and that of the younger was Michal. His wife's name was Ahinoam, or daughter of Ahimaaz. The name of the commander of Saul's army, blah, 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 blah. So it's going on through his family. So that's Saul's wife.
Okay.
Where does it say that that David also had a wife with that same
name?
Let
me see here.
So I would have accepted both answers if you
could show me. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 43, it says, David had also taken Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both became his wives. So David also had a wife called...
the same name. Wow,
yeah,
okay.
I also had both wives whose name was, my brother is pleasant. That's the meaning of the word Ahinoam. And Ahinoam was the... she was the mother of David's firstborn son, Amnon.
Okay.
So that's kind of a little bit of a relevance there.
Oh, yeah. So a different woman, but the same name. Yeah. So King Saul and King David both
That's right.
Interesting.
Interesting, hey?
Yep.
That so both David and Saul would have wives with the same name.
Yeah.
This is my wife.
That's an unusual name.
Oh, it's my Hinoam too.
Yep.
All righty. Do we have a new quiz question?
We certainly do. Okay. Let's jump into it.
This is
our multiple choice. And I think that we kind of covered this one last year. We definitely talked about the name of the king who is involved with this statistic.
Okay.
But let's see if you know the stats. What was the shortest reign of a king of Israel? Do you want the multiple choices, or do you want me to give you some time to come up with the answer on your own, Scaffy? Or shall I give you ABCDs?
Oh, man, Yeah, I'm a bit rusty with the kings.
And he's had the man flu, everybody. Give him a break.
All right. Give me the multiple choice here.
Okay. So what was the shortest reign of a king of Israel? A, 1 day. B, 7 days. C, 3 weeks. Or D, 2 months. The shortest reign.
Oh, so you didn't want the actual name of the king. You wanted the tenure.
I want the tenure. That's right. We did the name of the king in a quiz about a month ago. Not correct.
Alrighty. Didn't get that one right.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know this story now.
Nah. Do you want to take another guess?
Yes. Okay. What were the...
So A, 1 day. B, 7 days. C, 3 weeks. Or D, 2 months. So you're still not right.
Yeah. Far out.
Let's see, Radio Neighbor. Send in your answer. What do you think? And we also got a couple of really good... we got 2 right answers have already come through. Well done for our quiz. And we've had some other messages. So Chris said, 2024 highlight, Lawson getting engaged.
Oh, Lawson got engaged. That's right. That's right. And we should have, I think it should have been published more widely around the world, really.
That's right.
Well, that's a great one.
It made
Thanks,
our
Chris,
news.
For remembering.
You
know,
that this station's
news.
Yeah,
and their wedding's coming soon as well.
That's right.
That's
a couple months off. And Michael tells a spider story that is a little... frightening to me. With your spider story, I clean windows for country houses. I have my wagon open all day, so I have a big collection of spiders. Some are so big you can almost hear them walking. Sometimes I'm driving and they come into my CD player. Scary.
Ooh, into the CD player. That is very scary.
Yeah,
thanks for sharing
when you have
that,
to
Michael.
When you have to keep your vehicle open all day because of your work, and that's the sort of, and you're destroying their homes, and they have to rehouse themselves immediately. I can imagine that your vehicle would become a habitat
spider
that they would
house.
Immediately escape
that's right.
to.
Very good,
Michael. I don't know that I could do your job.
Hey, we have.
I thank you for it.
Simon sending the answer to the quiz question. Him and João both of them apparently send the right answers.
And we got a couple of wrong answers coming from some other people.
But Simon actually got for the extra points, and he even named the name.
He did.
Wow, I'm impressed, Simon. Well done.
He gave us the king's name, which was Zimri. I'll give you that right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Zimri. Fantastic. Very good. Right, let's get back into our Bible study.
Let's do it.
Let's look into love, okay? A lot of people think, Shell, that God loves us and we can't really love him back.
Okay.
But Bible says that God's love is actually relational. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, there's so many passages that are about that.
There's a lot of passages that are about
that. Yeah, I'm not sure if I've come across that theology, I guess. So people feel that they can't express love to God.
Yeah, they think, look, you know, yeah, sure, God loves me and he created me. Yes, he maintains my life, but he couldn't really care. There's nothing like I can do to make God feel loved. Like, he's just up there in his throne.
I'm
too small. He doesn't really care about the nitty gritty or the small things about my life. And what can I give to him? So people have that. But the Bible says that's definitely not the case. It's a two-way relationship. And God actually asks us, you know, if we love him. It's important to God that we love him back. It's amazing. Let me just give something though. Sometimes we as humans, we can get quite dramatic over that thing about love. Particularly kids and parents or kids and grandparents. I do not know if you have had yet that experience where one of your grandkids comes to you and says, I hate you, grandma. I don't love you. I haven't had that yet,
but all of my grandkids are 3 and under. So
you're 3 and under.
Yeah.
It might come.
Yes.
It might come. And certainly I think
from my kids it happened. Sure.
Hasn't happened. Yeah. Oh, I hate you. Whatever it is. And sometimes we as humans, we get really destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why you don't? But like, I do everything for you. I my life, I die for you. I do everything. I dedicate everything. You know, it's in my power to do for you. This is how you respond to me. And God is kind of not, it's not like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is the thing. God wants our love, but he doesn't need our love. Not like, oh no, this son of mine, he doesn't love me. I'm shattered. I'm depressed.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just going to go into my heavenly.
That's right.
That's right. I'm going to go into my heavenly bedroom and just cry for ages. No, God is more resilient than that. And I think that even for us as parents, and I told my kids when they said, I hate you, daddy, or something like that, I said, no, you know, kiddo, it's okay. I want your love. I don't need your love. I already exist. Like, yeah, sure. Like,
I will love you.
I will
no
love
matter
you.
What. That's right.
No matter what. Uh-huh. And I'm actually giving you the freedom to choose if you want to love me or not. How about that?
Yeah.
You can choose. But what I need you to do, I need you to respect me. So I will enforce respect as best as I can, because I need you to learn to be respectful of others. Because if I don't know anything, and if you think it's fine to show disrespect to other human beings or ultimately to God, guess what? It's not okay. We as humans, we are created to correspond love with, if not with love, at least with respect. So I learned that from reading the Bible, because otherwise I would just be like, shattered, oh no, my kid doesn't love me. And, you know, what am I going to do about that? Because if God was like so desperate for our love, when people are desperate for things, they start compromising on things that they shouldn't. And that becomes an idol. It's not like God's going to say, okay, I was not going to answer that prayer, but because you said that you're not going to love me if I don't, then I will. God doesn't do that. And I think it's to our advantage that happens, Shell. Because imagine if God was such a God that, you know, he's so concerned about us loving him back that he would start just making all these kind of concessions and changing his mind all the time. No, he wants us to love him back. He definitely wants our love. He longs for our love. But it's not that he is going to do anything. He's going to break his own laws, or he's going to betray himself just because he wants that. Our love is not an idol to him. That's what I'm trying to say. And for us as humans, sometimes in that earnestness, in that, you know, desire to earn someone else's love, we ended up sacrificing all kinds of things, including God. How many people, you know, against their better judgment, for example, they chose a partner, for example, they chose to go to someone that was not going to lead them closer to God at all. On the contrary, probably leading them away from God.
Yeah.
Well, Adam and Eve, it's a story where the love of Adam for Eve ended up getting the way of Adam's love for God. Mm-hmm. And it has created a whole disaster of humankind. It was thanks to him. Thanks to that decision. It was not necessary that we would be suffering so much. So that is something, that is a distinction that I think is important. God wants our love. It's not that he's indifferent. He's not indifferent at all. He wants our love. He gets happy with our love. But at the same time, he is a resilient being. And if for the human beings that choose not to love him, is God affected by that? Maybe even sad. Yeah, sure. But he's not going to be dying, crying over, or being devastated for that, I don't think.
Right. Good start to our study on this topic. I'm looking forward to where we go with it.
That's right.
In days to come.
We're gonna be exploring that. That's lots to come, and I think it's going to be a fascinating study. It's really going to be a new key to unlock your experience with the Bible, and hopefully your experience with God as well. Knowing this, that God not only loves you, he also likes you, and he wants you. He wants your love.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
We're coming to the end of our show. Let's give away the answer to the quiz question.
First up.
Okay.
So, 7 days. This is the shortest reign of a king of Israel, and that was Zimri. Yeah. And he stole the crown, and then it got stolen back off of him in a very short amount of time, really.
That, there you go. Zimri
does not work out well. This is one of the things that we talked about, to pride yourself, to think that you are more deserving in such a capacity. It didn't work well for him.
And the guy that he was competing against, his name was Omri. So Zimri and Omri.
Yeah. Some great names.
Great names. Very good. So thanks for playing along with us in this quiz game.
Did you know that on your birthday, you can get all kinds of free things all around Australia? If you go to certain shops, you can say, hey, it's my birthday, show them your driver's license, and you'll get something free. There's like a whole list on websites that you can look at, and you can decide, ooh, do I want to go to this particular place?
Give us one example. Have
a donut? Do I want to go to... Oh, I don't want to be promoting some of these places on...
Okay, all right.
But there are a lot of them that you can do. Okay. But none are as good as ours.
That's right. If you go to food pharmacy...
Ooh, if you show them your driver's license that it's your birthday, you can get something free?
Yeah, ask them for free. Say that Faith FM people said that you can get something free for your birthday.
Nice. Okay.
There you go.
I'll be there in August.
And if you go there and say that you are a Faith FM listener, they're going to treat you really well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that was before the end of the year to get a free drink, but they're still going to probably treat you all right.
I'm pretty sure they're going to be really, really happy.
Yeah.
To have you there. And we also have a birthday gift that we are giving away for our January babies, Shell.
Yes.
Which is a
Sous-Vide. Not me. I'm not a January baby.
You're not a January baby. What's your...
I'm an August baby.
Oh, you're August.
What about you?
I'm a March baby.
Oh, same as my husband.
Okay. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, there you go.
Our time will come. But right now, it's the January people.
January people, if your birthday falls in January, let us know to 0491-064-669. By the way, just... save that number in your phone so it's easier for you to text us back, because we're always wanting to talk to you. And you will get a book. It's a Food as Medicine Diabetes Edition by Suret. A fantastic book.
Cookbook and health information.
Health information.
Beautiful pictures.
Amazing,
you
can
put it on your coffee table. If you did nothing else with it, it would look pretty there.
Absolutely. We can get that one to you. It's going to be a draw. And also, we have a resource that we want to get to you. It's your last chance, actually, to send us the word future 2025 to the number that I just mentioned, 0491-064-669. And we'll get you the book, Your Future is Safe with God. Help in Daily Living. It's about 36 pages. It's a small little book, but it's contained with all kinds of pros. It's the kind of book that you just want to constantly be reading the pages and seeing, oh yeah, I'm doing this already. Oh, no, I need this. This is my priority for me. It's a great list of how to step up your walk with God. So I recommend this book for people that are beginning their spiritual walk, but also people that have been on their spiritual walk for a long, long time and you need fresh ideas to ramp up your spiritual life.
Oh, fantastic. Look, I have a question for you before we end.
Okay.
What was your highlight from 2024 in your personal life? I am hoping you'll say something, but, you know, it might not have been the highlight. For me, the highlight would have been my fourth grandchild being born.
Okay.
What was yours?
Look, my highlight, I think that starting here at Faith FM.
Yay!
Yeah, it was one of my, I really enjoyed it. I was quite iffy in the beginning. Am I going to enjoy
this?
Is this right for me? It's like, no, very early days. But you know what? I came to really love this job. It's just a privilege. It's an opportunity to go and speak to all of you radio friends and talk about the things of God and things of the world and grow together.
Yep.
In God's grace. So to me, that's definitely one of the big highlights. And my wife and I, we finally got our family home as well. So that's big milestone for us.
Fantastic milestone.
Tomorrow we'll be back with more. So stay tuned to Faith FM.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.